The game is over. Your Bucks postgame show starts now. Welcome to Bucks Talk. Insight, analysis, and your chance to sound off on the game you just heard. Now to break it all down, here's your host, Justin Garcia.
All right, we said it before, tip-off. This was not a must-win game. It's an important win. There was more urgency on getting that victory given the injury report for the Clippers, but a good win for the Bucks nonetheless, regardless of how close this was or how late this thing went and who was not on the floor for the Clippers. You just need to get in the win column. You cannot have another disastrous road trip, 1-3, but even 0-4. And the Bucks at least momentarily avoid that. Now a chance for a 500 trip when you wrap things up Tuesday night in Sacramento against the Kings. The other things to keep note of today or keep an eye on are a pair of games on your NBA Sunday evening, the 76ers and the Knicks. So you're going to gain ground on one of those two teams. I do believe you are likely to become a 76ers fan if you're a Bucks fan. And you want as much separation as possible between you and the New York Knicks because I've said it before. We talked about this quite a bit on Bucks Shootaround earlier today. I'm going to say it again. It doesn't matter if the Bucks are second or third, where they are in terms of those standings. What matters is that they are second or third and not sliding down to the fourth spot. You don't want the path to have the Boston Celtics in the second round. I know a lot can happen in the first round matchups. I know a lot can happen at any round in the postseason. And look, you're going to have to beat good teams to win an NBA championship. If you want to get to the finals, it's a safe assumption to say you're going to have to get through Boston at some point. But you want to put that off as long as possible. And you want to start to keep building what we've seen here. Doc Rivers talked about that. Maybe we've seen the defense take a little bit of a step backward. I think when you saw the numbers, and we kept pointing them out on this show, Bucks have the second-best defense or fourth-best. They're in the top five. What you've seen from this group since Doc Rivers took over is enough to lead you to believe, look, they have the makings to, at the very least, be a better-than-average league defense, but they have consistently shown this is closer to a top 10 defense than they were a bottom 10 that we saw for basically large portions of 40 games throughout the season. Now, the defense has taken a bit of a slide. Overall, they're 10th since Doc Rivers took over, but that should be more than good enough as long as the offense is performing where you expect it to be. And again, you need Chris Middleton back to really get a full view of that offense. But the important parts are in the meantime. How does that two-man game between Giannis and Damian Lillard look? Does it continue to evolve? And I think the answer to that question, especially these last two games, even though one was a loss, is yes. 855-616-1620, the number to join us this afternoon on Bucks Talk as we recap a win in Los Angeles against the Clippers. So the Bucks sweep the season series against the Clippers. And now again, a chance for a 500 road trip with those teams, all playoff teams. I know I had said before this road trip began, I know I said, look, these are good matchups for the Bucks. I do like the way they match up with the Lakers. I do like the way they match up with the Clippers. You felt the same way about the Golden State Warriors. They lost by 35 points. And I like the way they match up with the Sacramento Kings. You got a chance to go 2-2 against four playoff teams. In the Lakers, the Warriors, the Clippers, and the Sacramento Kings. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us today on Bucks Talk. We'll take a look at some of those updated numbers for the Bucks coming out of the All-Star break. And again, the latest on where we're at in the standings, why we're going to become Philadelphia 76ers fans for at least a small portion of the day today. And plenty of time to hear from you as well. We'll get to all of that after this on Bucks Talk.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
.113 to .106, the final in Los Angeles. Bucks beat the Clippers, getting the win column on this four-game road trip. And now head to Sacramento Tuesday night to wrap things up with a chance at a 500 road trip against four teams that are going to be in the postseason from the Western Conference. That has been the story of the Doc Rivers era of Bucks basketball here, is playoff teams, a large portion of those games played against playoff teams. One of the most difficult schedules in the league. That is what Doc Rivers inherited. Sure, he inherited Giannis and Damian Lillard, two Hall of Fame caliber players, and a team that had a good record at the time that he took over. But he took on a very, very difficult schedule. We mentioned this all throughout those first couple of months of the season. It's important to win games now while you're figuring things out because of the schedule that waits for the Bucks. Really, for most of the back half of the season, but especially in the month of March. 855-616-1620, the number to join us this afternoon on Bucks Talk. Let's head to the phone lines and begin things with Will I Am. What's going on today, Will?
Hey, Justin. Hey, man, can't not love the Bucks' little matinee beat down here. Felt great to see Giannis and Dame's pick and roll ability finally showing on the upward trend, like you mentioned right before the break here. You know, 34 for Giannis, 35 for Dame. Those are numbers what you expect from, like you said, Hall of Fame caliber players. And one of the big things I'm liking is the minutes. 38 each for Dame and Giannis. Big tip of the hat to Doc Rivers there. You know, Bud again and other coaches prior really wouldn't give Giannis over 30 minutes. So to see him get those big numbers against playoff teams is really, really nice. And then my last 2 points, I do believe that if we get to 10th, maybe even 8th in defense, we're going to be a problem just because Doc's got the team going. And when you make it rain and also have a good, intense game like that, that's Bucks basketball. And before I go, Justin, I want to ask you a question. What do you want to see adjusted? Because, you know, I feel like they've, you know, answered the rebounding. They've picked up the intensity on defense. You know, guys are going to miss, but curious to know, what do you think is going to be the big adjustments here for the Bucks that you would like to see?
On either side of the floor, are you saying?
Yeah, let's go offense and defense.
Well, I mean, not to take the low-hanging fruit of the cop-out here, but it just, you got to see Chris Middleton on the floor. And this, you know, look, I'm going to preface with this, too. I was talking about this with somebody else. I've heard a lot of you can't count on Chris Middleton and those types of remarks. And while, look, I recognize by the numbers, the games played the last couple of years, you could look at that and say, well, Chris Middleton doesn't play a lot. Can't count on him. Fine. You know, we can't dispute that when you look at the games he's been on the floor the last 2+ years. But the narrative that Chris Middleton is injury prone to me is more than a bit unfair, because if we just take a step back and look at these last 3 years where it really started to pop up, you know, I remember how long ago it was, what, 8 years? Something like that, 6, 7, 8 years, when Chris Middleton had the hamstring injury, and we wondered, man, how do you come back from that? It was torn off the bone, and it was a pretty severe injury. We got to monitor this guy moving forward. No issues after that. And it's kind of the same that we mentioned about Brook Lopez, not so much Bucks fans, but when he was with the Nets. And you think about what, I think it was 2 of the first 3 or 4 years of his career were essentially lost to foot injuries. And that was in the back of your mind when he came to Milwaukee of, well, he's a 7-footer who's got that history. How much longer can he hold up? Outside of a back surgery, which again prompted those questions, there have been no issues with Brook Lopez. With Chris Middleton, very similar. Outside of that, nothing. And then you get to the last 3 years where, is it injury prone because you slip on a wet spot and then get a second procedure done to clean up a separate issue that he had been dealing with? Is it injury prone because Kevin Durant comes down in your landing space? So, look, I get if you're just looking at the numbers and the box score and you're looking at, all right, here's the Bucks. Let's look at their individual players. I get if you see that and say, well, Chris Middleton doesn't play a lot, you can't count on him. I think it's the opposite. You know what you can count on when he's on the floor. It's been 2+ years of random issues that have led to Chris Middleton being off the floor here. And so for me, the big thing is you need him on the floor because that's where you start with the offense and how things are going to start to change here. Doc Rivers liked what he saw in that two-man game from Giannis and Damian Lillard today, and it's clearly been getting better and better. There's been more comfort there, and that was one of the initiatives from Doc Rivers when he took over is, look, the important part is we got two superstars, so let's make sure they're playing like superstars. I'm not worried about Damian Lillard trying to fit in. Let's see how we can fit in around Damian Lillard. That was the impetus for Doc Rivers. Fixing the defense and getting Damian Lillard going, but the caveat, the asterisk of let's do that, not at the expense of Giannis. Make sure he doesn't suffer either. And I think that's what we've seen coming out of the All-Star break. So I just need to see Chris Middleton on the floor because that's going to change a lot offensively. Jay Crowder had been dealing with some shooting struggles of late. Jay Crowder's role is going to change. What you ask from Jay Crowder when Chris Middleton is back on the floor. I mean, you need Jay Crowder to knock down open shots with the way that the lineups and players have been situated with the absence of Chris Middleton. When Chris is back, you need Jay Crowder. You're still going to need him to hit open shots. But you need Jay Crowder's defense more than anything. When you have Chris Middleton on the floor with Malik Beasley, with Brooke Lopez, that's going to change things immensely for that two-man game, which, again, is getting better and better. You think about the way they close things out. A couple of wasted possessions, as Doc Rivers pointed to, but a couple of that really clicked in that game against the Lakers, and we saw more and more of it today. So when you got that duo on the short roll, running the pick and roll, and you've got Giannis, or you got Brooke Lopez in one corner, got Malik Beasley in the other, or if you got Chris Middleton out there, that changes what defenses can do. And a lot of those defensive issues, I suppose you could say, that we've seen, again, 10th best in defense now since Doc Rivers took over. For a while, it was in the top five. A lot of what we've seen is kind of what we've heard for large portions of the season. We heard Adrian Griffin saying the same things. Is our offense didn't help our defense. You know, some of the shot selection, turnovers, whatever it was, you got to be in sync. We can't put our defense in a bad spot. We can't turn the ball over and start fast breaks. That's what you saw a lot under Adrian Griffin. Can't have poor shot selection, one and duns or quick shots, contested shots, and the same thing where your defense is not in position. And I think we've seen a decent amount of that in these last four games. That, more than anything, is going to hurt your defense. So to distill it down to just one thing, for me, it's Chris Middleton. You got to see him back. And that's where you get a better feeling of where this team is headed and how much things are clicking on both ends of the floor. 855-616-1620, the number to join us today on Bucks Talk. Mentioned where the Bucks are at defensively since this coaching change, but where they are for the season as a whole, to me, is the most impressive part of the Doc Rivers era. We'll give you those updated numbers after this on Bucks Talk.
The Round Ball Repartee returns. This is Bucks Talk.
Bucks win today in Los Angeles, beating the Clippers by big performances from Giannis and Dame. 69 combined points from that duo, 35 from Damian Lillard, and 34 from Giannis. Each of those two players finished three rebounds short of a triple-double. So not only 69 combined points, but this is back-to-back games where both Giannis and Dame finished with double-doubles, and it was assists in both of these games. 11 assists today for Damian Lillard, 10 for Giannis, and they became the first players in the league this season, Friday night in Los Angeles, to each have 25 or more points in a double-double. Teammates to do that together in the same game, Giannis and Damian Lillard, that is it. And now they have done it in consecutive games. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us this afternoon on Bucks Talk. I mentioned there are some very encouraging numbers that we have started to see now under Doc Rivers, but especially coming out of the All-Star break. Not just the win-loss record where they are 7-2. And, you know, it is worth pointing out you did have a pair of games against the Charlotte Hornets. You did have a game against the Chicago Bulls. But you played in Minnesota against the Timberwolves. I know there was no Joel Embiid. You still played in Philadelphia against the 76ers. You've gone out west now for three games with one game left. It has not been an easy schedule. And I think a lot of times, just as we mentioned, people will look at the games played for Chris Middleton and say, well, he's injury prone. I think a lot of times people will see, well, the Bucks, they beat the Hornets twice. They have not played a tough schedule. Overall, it's been incredibly difficult since Doc Rivers took over, and it's still been a difficult schedule since the All-Star break. In those games played, what we've started to see from this Bucks team is the defense has still been consistently good enough. They are 7-2 in the nine games played since the All-Star break. You've heard me mention time and time again, I really would prefer to have at least 10 games of a sample size, ideally 20 games. 10 games is, that's kind of the baseline of what we need. You're just short of that. But in the nine games the Bucks have played since the All-Star break, they're 7-2. They have a 109.6 defensive rating. That is eighth best in the league. But perhaps even more importantly, they have a 117.6 offensive rating. So it's about 2.5-3 points per 100 possessions, better than the rating it was posting early under Doc Rivers. And again, it's fair to point out, no Chris Middleton. But a 117.6 offensive rating since the All-Star break. None of those games include Chris Middleton. To me, it really speaks to Giannis and Damian Lillard getting more and more comfortable and figuring out what works in that two-man game. That 117.6 offensive rating is seventh best in the NBA since the All-Star break, behind the Celtics, the Denver Nuggets, the team the Bucks will play on Tuesday, the Sacramento Kings, the Mavericks, the Pacers, the Oklahoma City Thunder, and the Bucks. So all postseason teams. Same story with the defense, save for the Atlanta Hawks, who I suppose are 10th in the East, so they are a postseason team. But yes, the Atlanta Hawks have been bringing it defensively since the All-Star break. The most impressive part about all of this, though, is when you think about where the Bucks were defensively prior to the coaching change, they had slid all the way down to 22nd in the league. 22nd rated defense in the NBA belonged to the Bucks. We knew that number is simply not going to be good enough. The offense was elite for large stretches, though I think in hindsight, some of the things that were working for the Bucks, it was largely winning with your talent. The offense was good enough. You needed a defense that was going to be good enough as well. And that was not the case. To be sitting at 22nd defensively at the time of the coaching change. So you knew, look, there's a lot of work that needs to be done on that defensive end of the floor. As we mentioned, what were the two big things for Doc Rivers? Well, I got to fix the defense. And we got to get Giannis and Dame going together. When you look at where the Bucks are for the season as a whole now, and factor in, again, where they sat on January 23rd when this coaching change was made, it is remarkable to see how much they have climbed as a unit. So 22nd in defense with a 116.8 defensive rating. Looking at the entire season now, so it includes those first 43 games under Adrian Griffin, the three games under Joe Prunty as your interim head coach, and the Doc Rivers tenure. The Bucks currently sit at 15th defensively. A 115 defensive rating. So it's improved by about 2 points per 100 possessions. And not only that, you weren't in the conversation when we said, well, I mean, they're in the 20s, but they're close. They're close to moving up. You weren't. The neighborhood you were in was a sketchy part of town. When you think about the teams that were around you, teams like the Charlotte Hornets, like the Wizards, like the Pistons, like the Pacers, right? That's the neighborhood the Bucks were winning or were living in. You wanted to move out of that neighborhood as soon as you could, but what those numbers were showing you was we don't have the finances to get out of this neighborhood. They have. They're now 15th for the season as a whole. And that was one of the areas that we circled as a possible destination of, you know, I'd be ecstatic if the Bucks could finish this season somewhere just above 15th. Like, if you can do that, it's going to be tough to go from 22nd. But if you can do that, man, that shows a lot of progress. That is exactly where the Bucks are currently sitting. And not only that, the Clippers, 114.5. They're 14th. The Sixers, 114.4. The Suns, 114.2. You are less than 1 point per 100 possessions. You're in the neighborhood of moving up into the top 13 and getting close to 12 and continuing to move closer and closer and closer to the top 10. If they can finish this season with a defense that finishes rated 13th, that is an incredible accomplishment for where they were and the schedule that they have left. So you're continuing to see that progress. And again, you're seeing it on the offensive side now, where they have the seventh best offense in the league since the All-Star break, and doing that without Chris Middleton on the floor. You're continuing to see those signs of improvement and those encouraging pieces for this team, what they're going to need moving into the postseason. And now, again, it's just a matter of getting Chris Middleton on the floor. I don't care if it's Tuesday. I don't care if it's Thursday. I don't care if it's Sunday. That's the other nice part about this schedule that the Bucks have coming up, is it's tough. And we'll take a look at the strength of schedule that remains for this team. It is a tough, tough schedule that the Bucks have left here. None of that has changed. It has been a difficult schedule for weeks now. But the nice part is you're starting to get some off days built in there. Three separate instances of 2 days off between games coming up this month. So if they can continue moving that defense forward and just get Chris Middleton on the floor before the playoffs start, because that's the important part. There is no date to circle if we need Chris Middleton back by then. I mean, the date is April 14th, whenever it is that the regular season ends. You just need him on the floor before then. I don't care if it's one game, two games, three games, 15 games. If it's the final, 17, 18 games that the Bucks have left. But you just need him on the floor for a little bit of time before the playoffs start, because a lot has changed since this coaching change took place. I know Chris Middleton has played under Doc Rivers, but as we mentioned, the offense continues to evolve. The way that you're going to lean on Chris Middleton is a bit different now than it was under Adrian Griffin in those three games under Joe Prunty. So you just need more of those reps to help continue to build that continuity. Maybe not so much with Giannis or Pat Connaughton or Bobby Portis or Brooke Lopez, but certainly with Dame Lillard. 855-616-1620, the number to join us today on Bucks Talk. We'll take a look at that remaining schedule for the Bucks and some of the numbers we've seen from Giannis since the All-Star break. Because one thing we have not mentioned quite a bit is the MVP race. So what Giannis is doing, how much of a role will that play in moving up the MVP charts? We'll take a look at that after this on Bucks Talk.
This is Bucks Talk.
All right, so with this game against the Clippers out of the way, you're done with the Clippers for your season schedule now. Bucks have dropped from third to fourth in terms of most difficult schedule remaining in the NBA. Still the toughest schedule that's left in the Eastern Conference, and the only other team in the East that is around the Bucks is the Charlotte Hornets. The only other team that's in the postseason mix around the Bucks in the East is the Atlanta Hawks and then the Indiana Pacers. Those are it, and they currently sit 8-10 overall. You got two games left against the Celtics. Again, the asterisk to apply to that statement is one of those two is probably going to be a meaningless game. And I'm going to be curious to see who actually plays for the Boston Celtics. It is very late in the season, and the Celtics are going to wrap up the number one seed in the East. probably 2 weeks left in the season, if not sooner than that. Right now, Celtics still lead in the loss column. That's the important thing to keep an eye on at this point in the season, not the numbers in the standings, the games back. Look at the loss column. The Celtics are 8 games up in the loss column on the Cavaliers. And the Celtics have 19 games left. What you would need to do to give that up isn't going to happen. So a magic number of 12 right now for the Boston Celtics to clinch the one seed. We're already discussing magic number early March. But, again, one of those games left is late in the season against the Celtics. By the time that final game is played, the Celtics will have clinched the number one seed in the Eastern Conference. So it's going to be interesting to see what version of the Celtics you see that game. Is it going to be similar to what we saw last year in that game where the Celtics essentially played no one on night two of a back-to-back? You got two against the Celtics. You have two against the Oklahoma City Thunder. Now you have late games against the Oklahoma City Thunder in terms of where they are on the schedule, but the West is much different from the East. Thunder, Timberwolves, and the Denver Nuggets seem to be jockeying, going back and forth between who is going to get the one seed. So you can't have that same expectation there. A game against the Pelicans, a game against the Knicks, which could be huge when we talk about trying to wall off the four seed. A game against the Kings, which comes your way on Tuesday, and then one game against the Phoenix Suns, which is Sunday, 1 week from today in Milwaukee. So that's the schedule that the Bucks have. Those are the toughest teams left. I think the important part to focus on may well be 4 or 5 other games when you look at the easiest quote-unquote opponents left in the Bucks schedule. The Washington Wizards, I said, I hesitate to call today a must-win game. You got a game against the Wizards, a game against the Memphis Grizzlies. Those are pretty close to must-win as well. For the schedule that you have left, the winnable games are games that you need to win. Wizards, Grizzlies, Raptors, Nets, and Hawks. Those are the quote-unquote easy games left for the Bucks. So two teams completely out of the mix in the postseason and three teams that are close or would be in the play-in tournament. That is the difference between what the Bucks have and teams like the Celtics, who, by the way, have the easiest schedule left in the league. The Miami Heat, who at this moment sits 6th in the Eastern Conference. They would be your first-round matchup. If you are a Bucks fan, I think what you are rooting for at this point is you want the Heat to keep winning. You want the Heat to move up to 5th or 4th. You would like a 4-5 matchup between the New York Knicks and the Miami Heat, where the winner would then theoretically play the Boston Celtics, assuming they get out of the first round. You can avoid all of that, and your half of the bracket would not have the Celtics, would not have the Knicks, who, if they get healthy, are a dangerous team, and would not have the Miami Heat, who no Bucks fan needs to be reminded, are an incredibly dangerous team. We'll preview the matchup with the Kings and also take a look at some of those Giannis post-All-Star break numbers. Does it matter? Is it maybe too late in that MVP discussion? One prominent NBA media figure thinks no. We'll take a look at that after this on Bucks Talk.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
Bucks snapped the losing streak. They beat the Clippers in Los Angeles. They got a chance at a 500 road trip. We'll keep an eye, or you, I should say, should keep an eye on a couple of games on your NBA Sunday evening. The Miami Heat are playing the Washington Wizards. The Orlando Magic are up on the Indiana Pacers. And again, the Magic are the 5 seed in the East right now. But the big ones tip off momentarily. Both 6 o'clock tips in New York, the Knicks and the 76ers, and also tipping off at 6 in Cleveland, the Cavaliers playing the Brooklyn Nets. But Cleveland is going to be playing that game once again without Evan Mobley for the 4th straight game without Donovan Mitchell. Dean Wade is also out, the hero from the win over the Celtics earlier this week, and Max Strus out as well. So if the Cavs drop that game, Bucks and the Cavs are tied in the loss column, and the Bucks will leapfrog them by way of an extra win. You got to keep an eye on those two games against the Pacers. That is ultimately what is likely to determine who gets the two seed between the Cavaliers and the Bucks. You need the Cavaliers to drop both of those games in order to win the divisional tiebreaker, which would determine the two seed if these two teams finish with the same record. Here's the thing I was going to mention about Giannis. Since the All-Star break, Giannis is averaging better than 31 points per game. He trails only Luka Doncic, who's been on another level with 37-plus points per game. Six straight games where he's recorded a triple-double and scored 30 points. And Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is averaging 32 points. He has seven double-doubles in nine games and one triple-double, does Giannis. And again, still very efficient is Giannis. Better than 50% on his three-point attempts and still better than 60% from the field. We had kind of kicked around. Look, if Giannis can lead the Bucks to a 20-8 record somewhere along those lines in the final 28 games of the season and puts up the numbers he had been doing throughout the season, he's going to be there in the MVP discussion. Bucks again since the All-Star break, 7-2. Giannis is doing his part. Now Kevin O'Connor of The Ringer says, why isn't Giannis in the top two between he and Jokic? So it is a conversation that's picking up some steam. Tuesday night in Sacramento, Bucks and the Kings, 9 o'clock tip, 8:30 is when our pregame coverage begins. And as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk.